Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. There's crime in this hour. Later on, from an episode of The Mysterious Traveler from 1948, but first it's Dragnet with a story called The Big Fellow, an NBC episode from August 30th, 1955.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a robbery detail. You get a teletype warning you that two hold-up men are heading for your city. You know they're armed and dangerous. Your job? Be ready for them.
Documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Tuesday, April 5th. Raining in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Chief Detective Thad Brown. My name's Friday. I was on my way back from R&I, and it was 8:46 a.m. when I got to room 27A. Squad room. Frank?
Yeah, Joe. Right here. How about it? Did you turn anything?
Yeah, a couple of names. None of them matched the descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
One of the mugs supposed to be in.
This afternoon's mail, it said they were sending them air special.
It'll be easier when we know who we're looking for, huh?
Yeah, it will.
Friday? Smith?
Yeah, Skipper.
You got a minute?
Right there.
Morning.
Yeah.
Close the door, huh?
Yeah, sure, sir.
Sit down. Here. Take a look at this.
Well, what is it?
It's about the Merton brothers.
Oh. I just talked to Leopold.
Sheriff in Las Vegas?
That's right. Gave me as much as he could on the Merton.
Well, we checked our records. There's nothing on them here.
Isn't likely. From what Leopold says, they're fresh out from the east.
You name a town?
No, someplace in Georgia. They're trying to run it out.
Mm-hmm. Bolton and Leek, I said they pulled a couple of gas station holdups over there. Anything else?
Yeah, at least they think so.
Yeah.
According to their records, the boys got into town a couple of months ago. No visible means, but plenty of money. Hung around the places on the strip, gambled, drank, had themselves quite a time.
Yeah.
Department over there started to wonder where the money was coming from. Put a couple of men on them full time.
What'd they find out?
Not much. Merton's played it cozy. They were finally picked up on a drunk charge, mugged and printed. Nothing to hold them on, so they were released.
Yeah.
Next morning, they skipped town, left clean. On the way out, they stopped long enough to kick in a couple of those gas station motels, you know, along the highway.
Yeah.
Scored pretty good.
The victims make the identification right away?
Yeah. As soon as they saw the pictures, sheriff's office notified Baker. Highway patrol there was waiting, but they must have gotten through before the word went out.
Mm-hmm.
We've been able to trace them through Barstow, Victorville, on through Pear Blossom, Little Rock. They worked hard all the way.
What do you mean?
Three service stations, two restaurants, one motel.
Anything on them here in L.A.?
Not yet. It's a matter of time. We've got to get them before then.
Yeah.
All the victims tell the same story. These two guys are off their rockers. The way it stacks up, they're well armed. The car they're driving is cold, and they're on the needle.
Heroin?
Well, we got it. Leopold says they kept a couple of dates with known pushers in Vegas. As far as he could tell, there wasn't anything passed. That doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's the story. Get on it.
Okay, Skipper.
I told you before, it's a matter of time till they try to put somebody around here in town.
Yeah.
A couple of crazy gunmen, high on H. Bad combination. Somebody's got to lose.
Well, let's hope it's not us. Ethan Gifford Merton, WMA, 27 years, 5 feet 8 inches, 165 pounds, and his brother Grady James Merton, 24 years, 5 feet 6, 152 pounds, arrived in Los Angeles on the morning of April 5th. The first word we had of their presence was a hotshot telephone call reporting the robbery of a market on the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard and Monroe Street. The market owners, Mr. and Mrs. Turner Dillon, had both been pistol-whipped. Mr. Dillon had been removed to George Street Receiving Hospital for treatment of a skull fracture. The woman had been given emergency treatment on the scene and referred to her own doctor. The description the victims gave us matched the Merton brothers. As soon as the mugshots from Las Vegas arrived, Frank and I drove out to see Mrs. Dillon. We found her in the small apartment above the store.
I just talked to the doctor at the hospital. He said Turner'd be all right.
Yes, ma'am.
Sure a wonder the way they hit him.
Yes, sir.
No reason for it. We'd have given him the money. Turner kept telling him, take the money and leave us alone. Take the money. Didn't make any difference to him. I don't think they even heard us.
We'd like you to look at some pictures, Mrs. Dillon, see if you can point out the men.
Oh, sure. Anything to help you catch them.
Here you are, man.
Think you've got them in here, do you?
I hope so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right.
No.
Here they are. Same two. Can I get any help again?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you notice that they drove a car, Mrs. Dillon?
I can't tell you for sure. We didn't really see until they were in the store.
I see.
Well, there must be something wrong with men who beat somebody up like that. You know, up here. Can't be a normal person.
What'd they say to you?
Well, they told us it was a stick-up. Said to hand over the money. The bigger one, that's him right there. Mm-hmm. He said for us to hurry up.
I see.
My husband opened the cash register, then he gave him what was there. The big one told him to get to the safe, hand over that money, too.
Yes.
Pointed the guns at us, kind of pushed us back to the safe. Turner opened it. All the time, we did just what they said. We weren't going to cause them any trouble.
Yeah.
Handed them all the money, every dime. Turner kept saying, take the money, but leave us alone. He must have said it 50 times. Before I even knew what was happening, Turner was lying on the floor. He'd been hit. I got mad. I tried to get at the man myself. Didn't make any difference to him. I was a woman. They hit me, too.
With the gun?
Yeah, here. Right on the face. Guess they didn't hit me as hard as they did Turner. Guess they didn't. After that, they left the store.
Did you see him go?
Not too good. To tell you the truth, I was more concerned with taking care of my husband than paying attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of hoodlums. I don't know where men like that come from. Must be something wrong with the way they were brought up.
Yes, ma'am.
Truth come out, it'll probably be their parents who ought to be in jail, not the boys at all.
Well, you might be right.
Sure, it's not the boys' fault.
Well, we'll settle for them. p.m. We received a communique from the FBI telling us that the Merton brothers were wanted by the state of Alabama for escape. A complete record on the two men was also sent. They'd been arrested a total of 26 times for everything from petty theft to kidnapping. According to the kickback, they'd escaped from a road gang while serving a sentence for possession of narcotics. We contacted the authorities in Alabama and asked them to forward all available information on the suspects. After talking with Captain Donahoe, Frank and I went over to the First Street Station to see Captain Waller. We asked him to supply a list of places the two brothers might turn for a narcotic contact. He gave us a list of several places in town and the names of men we could talk to. 8:16 p.m., we started to check them out.
Yeah, what would it be?
You seen Patsy Hayworth around?
Well, why are you looking for him?
Want to talk to him?
What about?
Well, if we wanted you to know, we'd ask for you, wouldn't we?
You guys cops?
That's right. Now, where's Patsy?
I don't know.
Come on. We got word that he hasn't been more than 3 blocks away from here in the past 4 years. Now, where is he?
I told you, I don't know.
You're not being smart, mister.
Hey, back room.
Is he alone?
Yeah, as far as I know.
What's he doing?
Nothing different. Playing solitaire.
All right.
Yeah? You want something?
You Patsy Hayworth?
That's right. Sit down. I know you?
I don't think so.
You're in the wrong room.
Police officers, we got some questions for you.
I don't guarantee the answer.
It's a start.
Go.
You heard from the Merton brothers?
Who?
Grady and Ethan Merton.
No name.
You don't know them?
Hmm. Red Queen and the Bart King, and I could turn them over. That's a baby I've been looking for. It's first time today.
Is that so?
Yeah. First win. Too bad I didn't pay for the deck. I'd have made a killing.
All right, now, come on, Hayworth. What do you know about the Mertons?
I told you nothing. Now, why come to me? A lot of other guys in town?
They're going to need Ace. The way we got it, you can steer them to it.
Old friends again.
All right, get your coat.
Why?
Let's take a ride.
For what?
We can't talk here. Let's go downtown.
Well, it's a nice place. There's nothing wrong with right here.
All right, then, what do you know?
What's in it for me?
Why?
Well, information like that ought to be worth something.
You know we can't do anything for you. Come on, let's go.
Well, how long do you figure you're going to be able to hold me?
Long enough.
How do you make that?
Well, I'll tell you, we'll take you downtown, process you, pass the word you copped out. Told us about a half a dozen people in town. Thing like that gets around, you're going to be in trouble. You'll come back with what we want to know.
Well, that's kind of crummy. It almost builds the blackmail.
Now, you called it. We didn't.
You'd really do that?
We would.
All right. You crossed out all the roads. What do you want to know about the Mertons?
You know them?
I met them yet.
Where?
Place down the street.
When?
Last night.
What is it, a bar or hotel?
Hotel.
Are they there now?
No, we just used the room to meet.
You know where they are?
No.
What they want?
You called it, H.
Are you doing any good?
No, I told you the truth. I'm not pushing anymore.
Why'd they come to you?
Heard I could turn them on.
What'd you tell them?
Oh, said I couldn't help them. I told them I'd try and line something up. Stall, you know. I don't want any part of that action. You know, I could have a piece of it. The answer would be no.
Why?
Well, these guys are too far out. They must be shooting 7-8 caps a day. Got to spend most of their time cooking. They're out of their skull, these guys.
Mm-hmm. You got anything that'll help box them in?
I don't know. Hey, maybe the broad.
What do you mean?
Well, they're dragging a broad with them, a big one. Must be 6'2 in a stocking.
You know her?
I've seen her around.
Where?
Used to hustle drinks downtown. Got too rough for some of the managers. They tied the can to her. She's been floating for a couple of months. Ties into some guy who'll pay the bill as soon as he wises up. She drops and goes on the prowl.
She got an address?
Oh, I can't name it. Some flea bag on Fifth, I think.
She a hide?
I don't know. She might chippy with it. Not steady enough.
Mm-hmm.
But she's smart, you know. How he looks, she'd do real good. One of the homeliest women I ever met.
Is that so?
Yeah, looks like she should be wearing a bridle.
Where can we get in touch with her?
Well, it's hard to say since she's running with the Mertens.
Yeah.
You might try the Ten of Hearts.
Where's that?
The dive on Six. She used to show for the place. When they kicked her out, she went freelance. She still hangs around, I think.
All right. How'd you leave it with the Mertens?
Huh?
Are they going to contact you?
I don't know. They might. You want me to call you if they do?
Yeah, we'd appreciate that.
Okay. You got a card?
Here.
Thanks. I'll give you a ring.
All right, Hayward. We'll hear from you, right?
Yeah. There you are, you see?
What?
You should have banked the game. I lost.
No, you didn't.
Huh?
You won. We returned to the office and ran the name and description of the woman through the record section. We came up with a package listing arrests for violation of Section 647.5 of the Penal Code and 4220 LAMC, soliciting drinks. She'd served 2 terms in the county jail and at the present time was not on parole. We got her address and drove out to see her. The landlady at the apartment house told us she was out and wasn't expected back at any certain time. Frank and I drove down to the Ten of Hearts, a small bar on 6th Street. We found the woman sitting on one of the front stools.
Hi, honey. Like to buy a drink?
Your name, Jane Finletter?
Names don't mean anything here. Just friends. That's all that really counts, friends.
How about it? Is that your name?
Are you guys cops?
That's right.
What are you rousting me for? I ain't done nothing.
We're not rousting. We want to talk to you.
About what?
Let's get outside. It'd be easier to talk there.
I got a choice.
Not much.
Okay. Henry?
Yeah, Jane?
Save your stool. I'll be right back.
Okay.
So...
right out here. We can talk in the car.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Get in.
Okay. What's the beef?
You work here, do you?
What, you mean this place?
That's right.
Uh-uh. Once in a while, I come in, have a couple of drinks. That's it.
Where do you live?
I've been the route cop. You're right out here to pass the time of day. What are you after?
A couple of questions.
Not the power for that.
What do you mean?
You're not uniform. I didn't send a suit out to ask about a traffic accident.
What do you do with your time, Jane?
Move around.
Well, lay it out for me, what?
When?
Start first of the week, huh?
Okay. Slept late Monday. Got up about 1:30. Had a bad night Sunday. Woke up with a real head.
Mm-hmm.
Tagged the bar on the corner. Had a couple of Bloody Marys. Went home. Changed my clothes and met a friend.
You want to give us his name?
Can't go any farther?
Not from us.
Nick Pfeiffer.
Okay, what happened then?
I was out with him until maybe 2:30.
That's in the morning.
Yeah. Came home, went to bed. Slept until about 11:32.
Mm-hmm.
Got a call from a couple of friends who just got into town.
Got their name?
Same deal.
Same deal.
A couple of brothers. They met a girlfriend of mine in Las Vegas. She gave them my number.
How about the names?
Ethan and Grady Merton.
Okay.
Met them, had a couple of drinks, and drove out to the beach for lunch. Came back to town, had dinner. Takes us up to last night.
Have you seen him today?
No. He couldn't call me this afternoon.
Yeah?
Said they had some kind of a business deal to take care of this evening. After that, they were going to pick me up.
Where?
Here, in about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That the reason for the muscle, the Merton brothers?
Might be.
He got a game going. I'm not on their side. I want that clear. They pulled a boo-boo. They did it themselves. No help from me.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm concerned, they both got soft spots.
What do you mean?
Their skulls. Soft.
They say what this business was they had to take care of.
No, he mentioned something about somebody owing him money, something like that, that they were going to collect.
Didn't say where, though, huh?
Not to me.
Mm-hmm.
The way they were rigged last night, though, doesn't leave a lot of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
All those guns going out to collect.
Yeah.
They weren't going to do it nice.
Another team of men were sent out to help us cover the place. Frank and I took up our positions in the back of the bar and we waited. 1:15 a.m., 1:30, 1:45.
What do you think, Joe?
I don't know.
Maybe they decided not to show us.
That's possible.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, I got an idea this morning.
Yeah?
While I was shaving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I always have trouble, you know. Try all the things they tell you. Let the lather stay on 2.5 minutes, hot water, all the things you're supposed to do. I've tried them all.
Mm-hmm.
Finally came up with the answer.
You did, huh?
Yep.
Well, what is it this time?
New kind of razor.
New razor.
Yeah. I got thinking about Faye and gave me the idea.
How does that work?
Faye's my wife.
Yeah, I know that. She's shaving now?
Oh, Joe, you don't understand. She's not shaving.
No?
No. See, last night she gave herself one of those home permanents, and I got the idea from that.
For the new razor?
Yeah. They got those permanent things for different kinds of hair, like hair that's hard to curl, medium easy to curl, easy, you know.
I think I know what's coming here.
Mm. Well, if somebody invented a razor for tough beards, medium beards, light beards, he'd do all right.
Mm-hmm. You gonna invent it, are you?
Joe, I'm not gonna invent it. You know how I am with those things. I just got the idea, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'd sure like to buy one if they had them. Mm-hmm. Tough beards, find one right away.
Yep.
First day. That'd be the answer.
Well, here comes ours.
Hmm?
Looks like Grady Merton just came in, doesn't it?
Yeah. Wonder where his brother is.
Might be outside.
Better wait a minute before we move.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to the thin letter woman.
Yeah. Yeah, it's starting to leave. Let's go. We'll take him outside.
Right.
All right, Merton, hold it up.
He's leaving, Joe. All right, come on, calm down. Take it easy.
Leave me alone.
Police officer. Take it easy. All right, now come on, Merton. Get up.
Come on.
Now get over there by the wall.
Stand still.
Here, Joe. Luger hurt himself.
Yeah.
All right, put your hands down the back.
What are you shoving me around for, cop? You're going to be sorry about...
Where's your brother?
You'll find him.
You got a fat mouth, mister. Now, where is he?
I won't lead you to him.
Got him, huh?
That's right.
You turned him on, didn't you?
You talk to me. Guys like you always cause him trouble.
No, you cheap bum. I don't know what he can see, and you're sure going to be sorry when he hears about this.
Tell him to stay away, too.
He'll get you. You can't dig far enough to get away. He'll find you and pay you back.
All right, that's enough. Now let's go.
You tell her. She's going to collect interest on it. She'll be sorry.
Not alone.
Huh?
She'll have company. The other team of men remained at the bar in the event the other suspect returned. We took Grady Merton to the city hall for questioning. Empty your pockets.
Huh?
Come on. Empty them out.
Wallet. Change. Keys. Handkerchief. Penknife. That's it.
Let me see your arms, Merton.
Huh?
Come on, let me see your arms.
What for?
Now, there's two ways to do this. You take your choice.
Okay. All right.
When'd you have your last pop?
You gotta prove it.
That won't be hard. All we gotta do is drop you in an ISO cell and you'll be screaming for it.
Sure. You get all the money you can on that. I'll book it myself.
Let me see the wallet.
There's nothing wrong with your reach.
Is this a pink slip on your car?
Yeah.
Bought it in Nevada?
That's what it says.
Yeah. What are those keys for?
Nothing. I just like to carry them.
Center.
Now, what happens now? You hit me?
Turn around. Forgot something, didn't you, Merton?
Huh?
Key here. What's it for?
I never saw before.
Hendricks Arms Hotel. Is that where you've been staying?
I'm not going to say anything more. You want me to talk? It's got to be with a lawyer.
All right.
I know my rights. You can't make me say nothing more.
You don't have to.
Huh?
We got all we need. We had Grady Merton taken to the main jail and held to answer charges of violation of Section 211 PC. 3:26 a.m., Frank and I left the office and drove out to the Hendricks Arms. The large private home in the Crenshaw area that had been converted into a hotel. Frank covered the back entrance to the building, and I walked up the steps.
You know, it's 3:30. Hope you got a good reason coming around here this time of night.
Police officer, can you tell me who's registered in room 5C?
What for?
Police business.
Listen, mister, this is a clean place. There's no trouble. Now, that's the way I run it. That's the way I want it to be.
Yes, sir. Now, who's in room 5C?
Oh, a couple of guys.
What are the names?
I don't know. Smith or something. Wife rented the room to him. I only seen him a couple of times.
All right. Does one of them look like this picture?
Come in here and get some light, huh?
All right.
All right. Let's take a look. Oh, this fella here?
That's right.
Well, yes. Guess that's one of them. Yeah.
Is he in now?
Well, I wouldn't have any way of knowing that. Tenants come and go as they please, see? As long as they don't let the water run, don't have no loud parties, we don't bother.
Where is the room?
It's the third floor rear.
Okay. This hall go to the back door?
Yeah, you gotta go through the kitchen. Say, can you tell me what this is all about?
It'd be better if we didn't.
You gonna be in shooting?
I don't think so.
Well, if there is, I can give you a hand. I got a 12-gauge in the room. I used to hunt ducks. I can get it if you get a hand.
No, sir, that won't be necessary. All right, Frank.
Is he here?
No, no, yet.
Uh-huh.
Is there any back stairs?
Yes, sir. Right through there. Looks like a closet, but you open another door and you can go on up.
All right, sir. Do you have a key to the room?
Yeah. Here you are. Want me to go with you?
Might be better if you stayed here.
Yeah, well, I'll get my gun and guard the front door. He won't get out. I'll guard it.
Down this way.
Yeah, easy. No noise.
No. You're all set?
Yeah.
Behind you, Joe.
I get the light.
All right, what are you doing? Now, hi, Greg, what are you guys doing
get
here?
Up. Come on up.
How'd you get to me? How'd you do it?
We did.
I should have killed you all the time in the world, and I didn't do it. I should have killed you.
Yeah, you should have.
Perfect shot, and I couldn't do it. No reason at all. Wouldn't have cost me any more.
That's all?
Yeah, sure. They never executed anybody in this state for killing a cop. Wouldn't have cost me any more.
You got a bigger bill than you can pay now. Come on.
You've just heard is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent. On August 18th, trial was held in Department 98, Superior Court of the State of California, in and for the County of Los Angeles. In a moment, the results of that trial. Ethan Gifford Merton and Grady James Merton were tried and convicted of robbery in the first degree, 5 counts, and received sentence as prescribed by law. Robbery in the first degree is punishable by imprisonment in the state penitentiary for a period of from 5 years to life. Because of the viciousness of their crimes, their sentences were set to run consecutively. A hold was placed on them by the state of Alabama in the event they are paroled.
Dragnet, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 30th of August, 1955 on NBC. At that time, the television version was in full swing, and that was one of the radio broadcasts of among very few that weren't repurposed for the television show. This is an hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for an episode of The Mysterious Traveler called I Won't Die Alone, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from May 11th, 1948.
Mutual presents The Mysterious Traveler.
This is The Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, and it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable if you can. As you hear the story I call I won't die alone. Our story begins in 1931. Two young men are speeding along in a car on a lonely West Virginia road at 70 miles an hour. There's a tight, tense look on the face of the driver, Steve Martin, as he takes the curves on the road without slowing down. His companion, Chuck Williams, wipes the perspiration from his face with trembling hands. He turns and watches the road behind fearfully, now and then glancing at Steve's face for reassurance.
Turn on the radio, Chuck. Let's see if they got an alarm out yet.
Yeah, okay. Well, what do you think our chances are, Steve?
Hard to say. It all depends on how fast the cops spread the word.
The two men robbed the Third National Bank of Lewisburg of over $250,000 shortly before closing time. Word has just been received that the two bank robbers are now driving east on Highway 6B toward the Allegheny Mountains.
That's not good.
State Police Car 9, take up position at junction of Highway 11A and River Road.
They're moving fast.
State Police Car 10, take up position at junction of Highway 3 and Highway 6B.
Steve, Highway 6B, we're on it.
Yeah.
That is all. Stand by for further orders.
Steve, you got to turn back. We're headed for a trap.
Take it easy, will you? There's still a chance. 20 miles ahead, there's a small dirt road that'll detour us right around them.
20 miles? We'll never make it, Steve. Isn't there any other road we can turn off on?
No.
Are you sure?
I was born in these parts. I know every inch of the country.
Steve, let's ditch the car and cut toward the mountains on foot.
Are you crazy? It's 40 miles to the mountains. We'd never make it walking. We've got to keep driving. It's our only chance.
We'll run right into that trap, I tell you. They'll be waiting with Tommy guns. We'll be dead pigeons.
Okay, then we'll be dead pigeons.
I'd give up my share to haul right now to be out of this. You got to get me out of this, Steve. You got to.
No, shut up.
Look, Steve, if you were to let me out of the car and keep on going yourself, I might be able to get away. The cops would be so busy chasing you, I'd be able to give them the slip.
You lousy rat.
Now, look at it my way, Steve. There ain't no use both our getting caught. That don't make sense.
You're great when it comes to sharing the dough, but when the heat's on, you want out.
Yeah, but I'm willing to pay for you can keep my share of the bank call. Now, that's fair enough, ain't it? Huh?
A lot of good that dough'll do me if I get caught, but I'm sick of hearing you whine. All right, it's a deal. If I get through, the dough's all mine. If I don't, well, I don't.
Thanks, Steve, thanks. I'll never forget this.
Come on, get out.
Which way do I go, Steve?
Head across the fields until you hit a small stream. Then head upstream for about 6 miles. There's a railroad water tower there. You ought to be able to hop a freight.
Thanks, Steve. I'll be seeing you.
Yeah. So long, Chuck.
You show up. See by the paper they got Steve.
Yeah. Now, let me see that paper. It says here they caught him yesterday afternoon at 5. An hour after I left him.
What'd you do, run out on him?
No, I didn't run out on him. I just played it smart. What are you looking at me like that for? There wasn't no sense in both of being caught, was there?
No, I guess not. Where's the dough?
What dough?
The $254,000 you got in the bank job.
Steve had the dough.
What? Look what it says there in the paper. Huh? Go ahead, read it.
Martin, when captured, told police he knew nothing about the stolen bank money. Police believe that Martin's unknown companion escaped with the loot. But I didn't, Flo. I didn't. Steve had that dough when I left him.
Then why didn't the police find it when they caught him?
There's only one answer. Steve stopped and hid the dough someplace before he got him.
Steve's too smart to risk being caught and having all that dough taken away from him. Poor guy. They'll probably throw the book at him.
Where have you been so long? Well, what happened at the trial?
They give him 25 years.
25 years?
Mm-hmm.
How did he take it?
He didn't bat an eye.
Maybe he'll think things over and squeal on
me. Oh, stop sniffling, will you? He isn't the kind of a guy to do anything like that.
Yeah, sure. Why should he want to squeal on me? Besides, if he did, the cops would find out that I didn't have the bank, though. That it's Steve who got it. He wouldn't want that to happen. Sure. Why, with good behavior, he'll be out in 18 or 19 years.
Then you'll have all that dough hid.
I'd rather have the 18 or 19 years than the dough. Well, it's been nice knowing you, Chuck.
Now, wait a minute, Flo, don't go.
What?
Why not stick around? We'd make a good team. We don't need Steve.
We don't, huh? And just what would I get sticking around? You haven't got brain, muscle, or dough. What's the attraction?
Listen, Flo, stick with me and I'll get dough. I've always gotten what I wanted in the end.
Without Steve, you haven't got a chance. He had all the brains, all the guts.
Yeah, and where did it get him? You notice I ain't behind bars. And I'll get that big dough yet.
Three cheers. When you do, look me up.
Seventeen years passed. 17 years in which earth-shaking events took place. With the passing of time, Steve Martin became just a memory to Chuck Williams and Flo Duval. During the 30s, Chuck struggled desperately to make money in a half dozen petty rackets, but failed miserably. However, with the coming of the war, his luck changed, and in the years that followed, he thrived on the black market. And with his newfound wealth, he was able to win Flo Duval. 1948 found Chuck Williams a happy, prosperous citizen without a care in the world.
How many times have I told you to knock before you come into this office?
Look, Napoleon, save that big shot stuff for your stooges.
Same old flow. I guess that's what I like about you, baby.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, you've got that superior look on your face again. Who are you planning to knife now?
I just got word that our old pal Steve is getting out of prison tomorrow.
Steve Martin?
One and only. Been 17 years now. It's a long time.
Yeah.
Think I'll drive down to the prison. Be there when Steve gets out.
What for? You haven't bothered to write or visit him since the day he was sent up.
I know. But it's a matter of unfinished business between the two of us.
Unfinished business?
Yeah. To be exact, 254 grand.
You mean you're going after that dough that Steve has stashed away?
That's just what I mean.
But you gave up your share of that bank dough the day you and Steve separated.
Man can always change his mind.
Chuck, leave Steve alone. That money by rights is his. He paid 17 years for it. Besides, you don't need it. You got more dough than that already.
Maybe so, but that isn't going to stop me from getting that 254 grand. And you ought to know by this time I always get what I go after. I got you, didn't I, baby, huh? Remember, baby, when those gates open and Steve comes out, let me do the talking.
Don't worry, I will. I don't want any part of this dirty deal.
Relax, baby, relax. When I get that 254 G's, I'll buy you a fancy diamond bracelet. Then you'll feel better.
Hey, boss, they're opening the gate. Is that him?
No. Steve's twice as big as that guy.
Chuck, that is Steve.
Can't be. That guy looks at least six. You're right. It is Steve. Stay in the car. Hey, Steve. Steve, over here. What's the matter? Don't you remember an old pal?
Hello, Chuck. Well, I didn't recognize you at first.
Well, in here, pal.
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of surprised to see you after all these years.
Well, I've been living in South America most of the time. Only got back a year ago. I know I should have written you, but I never was any good at that.
Boy, yeah, sure smells better out here.
Come on, let's get in my car. I got a surprise for you.
Surprise?
Yeah. You remember Flo Duval, don't you? Well, here she is.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Flo. Hey, it's nice seeing you again.
Come on, Steve, get in. We're driving you to town.
Thanks, Chuck.
Okay, Felix, back to town.
Right, boss.
You don't look well, Steve.
It's just this prison parlor, Flo, and 17 years.
Well, that's all behind you now, Steve. A few weeks of good rest and good food, you'll be a new man.
I'd like to believe that.
Just take my word for it. I'm never wrong.
Well, you seem to have done all right, Chuck.
Yeah, not bad. I own a nightclub, a bowling alley, used car business, a couple of apartment houses. I can't complain.
I'm glad to hear it.
I'm not forgetting an old pal, either.
Now, Flo and me want you to come and stay with us until you get on your feet. You know, a house guest.
I'd rather not, Chuck. I don't want to put you out.
Put me out? Ha! Listen to the guy. Well, we got sweet servants, everything. Steve, I just won't take no for an answer.
A week passed, then 2 weeks, during which Steve Martin did little other than eat and sleep and take long walks. Chuck Williams played the role of the gracious host to perfection, and his guest lacked nothing in the way of comfort. So concerned was Chuck with his guest's welfare that he always knew exactly where Steve was and what he was doing. Then one day, as Chuck had known it would happen, Steve came into his office for a private chat.
Hey, you busy?
No, no. Have a seat, Steve.
Thanks.
What's on your mind?
Well, while I was doing time, my old man died and left me a small farm in West Virginia. That's where I was born and raised, you know.
Yeah, I remember you telling me.
Well, I'm going back to the old farmhouse and settle down there for a while.
I see. Well, anything you say, Steve. Only let's keep in touch, huh?
Yeah, sure thing, Chuck.
When are you thinking of leaving?
Tomorrow morning.
Well, that's soon, huh? Well, we'll have to have a little farewell party tonight, okay?
Yeah, fine. I'll see you later.
Right you are. Felix, come in here.
What's up, boss?
My pal, Steve, is getting ready to make his move.
Guess he can't wait no longer to get his hands on that dough.
Looks that way. He's leaving tomorrow morning for a small farm he's got in West Virginia.
West Virginia, huh?
Yeah. Farmhouse can't be more than 30 or 40 miles from where he stashed the dough.
Is there any chance he might have hidden it on the farm?
Nah. Cops caught him before he got that far. He hid that dough someplace off Highway 6B.
How many of the boys you want me to take along?
Take 4. I don't want any slip-ups. Watch him day and night, and without being seen.
Just leave it to me.
Sooner or later, he'll lead you to the dough. When he does, well, you know what to do.
Yeah.
Okay, then. You better start packing.
The next morning, when Steve Martin took a train for West Virginia, 2 very inconspicuous men were seated at the other end of the coach he was riding in. They watched him get off the train at an all but deserted station in West Virginia, but made no move to follow him. As the train started off, Steve hired a car to take him to the farm he'd inherited. It was dusk when he finally reached the deserted farmhouse. On a heavily wooded hill 100 yards away, Felix and a companion watched through field glasses as Steve lit a fire in the farmhouse and prepared to settle down for the night. In the days and nights that followed, Felix and his men took turns watching Steve Martin's every action. And every evening, Felix would phone Chuck Williams and report that Steve hadn't made a move as yet.
How many times have I told you to knock before coming into this office?
What's the matter, Napoleon? Are things working out?
I've told you to lay off that Napoleon stuff. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
That must be Felix. Hello?
Hello, boss. Felix.
Well, what's happening?
Nothing. He still hasn't made a move. All he does is fish and read.
What about visitors?
He hasn't seen anyone since the day he got here.
Are you sure he didn't give me the slip during the night and get the dough?
Not a chance. I got 2 boys watching the house at night.
Well, maybe he knows he's being watched, and that's why he hasn't tried anything.
I'd bet my last buck he hasn't spotted us.
Nothing ever goes right unless I'm running the show. I'm leaving tonight for West Virginia. I'll see you in the morning.
Okay, boss. I'll be expecting you.
That's a farmhouse down there, boss. Look through the field glasses. You can see it just like you were standing in the front yard.
He's sitting on the porch reading.
Yeah, reading and fishing is all he does. He hasn't been more than a couple of 100 yards away from the house since he got here.
Well, he must have spotted you. That must be the reason he hasn't made a move.
How could he have spotted us? You can see how careful we've been.
Well, I'll wait a couple more days. See what happens. If he doesn't move soon, I'll have to think of something else.
Leaving Felix to continue his watch over the farmhouse, Chuck returned to the village and registered at the village inn. The hours that followed dragged interminably. and the hatred that Chuck felt for Steve Martin grew with each passing hour. In the evening, Felix drove into the village and reported that nothing new had occurred. Four more fruitless days went by. Chuck Williams was unable to contain his fury any longer. He got into his car and drove to within a half mile of the farmhouse, then walked the rest of the way to where Felix and his men were hidden on the hill.
Boss, what are you doing here?
I got tired of waiting.
You better get down, boss, or Steve Martin's liable to spot you.
Forget that. We're through playing a waiting game. We're going to move in on him.
Move in on
him? Yeah. Maybe after a light workout, my pal Steve will be willing to tell me where he stashed the dough.
Ah, that sounds more like it. I never did go for this cat and mouse game.
Before we're through with him, he'll be begging to tell us what he knows. Hello, Steve. Got lonesome for you. Decided to pay you a call.
I thought you'd get around to it sooner or later.
You don't sound very glad to see me. A fine way to act towards a pal who was your host for the last 3 weeks. Didn't I treat you right?
Yeah. That's what made me figure I hadn't seen the last of you. What do you want?
I'll give you one guess.
I haven't got it.
I know you haven't, but you know where it is.
So what? That money belongs to me, not you.
That's where you're wrong, pal. That dough belongs to the guy strong enough to get it. That's me.
Okay, then you go ahead and get it.
Should I let him have it, boss?
That's not up to me, Felix. That's up to Steve. Well, pal, you gonna dig up that dough for me?
No.
You're not as smart as you used to be. You know I'll get what I want in the end.
I wouldn't count on it.
Okay, Felix, I guess it's up to you and Slim now.
He'll talk. Won't you, pal? That's it, pal. All right, try getting on your feet. Here, let me help you.
How is he, Felix?
It's out cold, boss.
He always did have a stepping streak. You think in his condition he couldn't take all that punishment?
We give him any more, he's liable to kick off.
You sure?
Yeah. He's already got a couple of busted ribs, and that beating around the head didn't help any.
We gotta make him talk. We gotta.
You have to figure out some other way.
Throw some water in his face.
Okay. It's come to, boss.
Prop him up in that chair.
Come on, you. There.
Steve, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Felix here wants to try the water treatment.
Water treatment?
Yeah. Now, why don't you play it smart and tell me where you hid that dough? Won't talk, huh? Okay, Felix.
Wait, I'll talk.
Well, it's more like it. Where is it?
You could never find it alone. I'll have to take you to it. Just you and me.
What's the matter with Felix coming along?
Just you and me.
Okay, pal, okay. Only I'm wondering if you're in condition to make it. Hey, Felix.
Yeah, boss.
Give him a few drinks, try to fix him up.
Right.
As soon as you've done that, Steve and me will be on our way.
An hour later, Steve, with the assistance of Felix, tottered to Chuck Williams' car and got in the front seat. Chuck slid behind the wheel and started the motor. As he drove off, he waved to Felix triumphantly. In a few minutes, the farmhouse had faded from view. Steve, huddled in a corner of the front seat, fought to keep from crying out every time the car hit a rut in the road. Now and then, he opened his pain-filled eyes to look out the window. Chuck watched him with satisfaction as he drove.
How much further is it?
You drive about 5 miles until you reach a small gravel road. Well, you'll see a big sign saying the Devil's Caverns. You turn right there and go 2 miles.
The Devil's Caverns? What are they?
They're a big tourist attraction in these parts during the summer. Hundreds of huge underground caverns that run for miles in all directions.
You mean that's where you stashed the dough?
Yeah. The best place in the world.
How do you know you'll be able to find it again?
I know every inch of the caverns. When I was a kid, my old man worked as a tourist guide there. I learned my way around from him.
Okay. You better find that, though. I'm warning you.
I'll find it. Well, you should be reaching the gravel road in a couple of minutes.
Turn right, then it's 2 miles to the Devil's Caverns. This is it. Park the car in that shed over there.
Place sure looks deserted.
No one ever comes here until June.
Is that the entrance to the cabins, that door set in the rock?
Yeah. You'll have to shoot the lock off the door.
Is this okay?
Yeah. No one will ever be able to spot the car here.
But you said no one comes here until June.
No one does. Why take chances? We'll need a flashlight.
I got one. Come out this way. And if you're thinking of any tricks, don't. Remember, I got this gun, and you're in no condition to try anything.
Yeah, you saw to that.
How come you didn't hide out here when the cops were after you?
Well, there wasn't any place to hide the car. Shed wasn't here 17 years ago.
Tough. Never saw such a lonely-looking place.
Yeah. Well, you ought to be able to blow this padlock off with one shot.
You better stand over there. Yeah, that does it. How much further is it? Seems like we've been walking an hour already.
It's right up ahead.
Sure you can find your way out again? All these cabins look alike to me.
Yeah, I know the way out.
Sure is damp in here. Hey, what was that?
Oh, probably just a rat running past you. Place is full of them.
Seems to me it's taken a long time to find that place where you hid the dough. If you're trying anything,
I'll... Here it is. I'll hold the flashlight a little higher. That's it. I hid the suitcase behind this rock.
Got it?
No, not yet. Here it is.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, all right. I can still recognize it. Open it up.
Well, there's the dough.
Yeah. Still in the bank wrappers. Look at it. Over $250,000. What's so funny? Answer me.
So you're the guy who always gets what he goes after in the end, huh?
Yeah, now I got the dough. And I'm asking you again, what's so funny?
Look at the money. Go ahead, look at it.
I'm looking. What about it?
Yeah, you're looking, mastermind, but you don't see. All those bills are goldbacks.
Goldbacks?
Yeah, that's right. In 1933, the government called in all goldbacks. That's how the kidnapper Bruno Hauptmann got caught, trying to pass goldbacks after the government had called him in.
You mean that dough is no good?
That's just what I mean. You try passing any of that dough and you'll end up doing time.
You've known all along that dough was no good?
Ever since 1933. Knowing it was worthless, I never intended coming here for it. But you made
me. I ought to let you have it, you rat, for leading me on like this.
Well, why don't you?
Come on, pick up that suitcase. Let's get out of here.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to tell you, Chuck.
Tell me what?
I'm staying here.
You're staying here?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, look, I've had enough out of you. Start leading the way out.
I guess you didn't understand. I said I'm staying here.
Get gone or you'll get it right between the eyes.
That doesn't scare me. You see, Chuck, there was something else I didn't tell you.
Something else?
Yeah. I didn't get out of prison on good behavior. I got out because the doctor said I was going to die in 3 months.
Going to die in 3 months.
Yeah, that's right. I thought I'd die peacefully on my farm. Only you wouldn't let me do that. So I've decided to die here with you as company.
Steve, you can't do that. You can't do that, Steve. You got to get me out of here. You got to.
I don't have to do anything. I don't want to.
Look, get me out of here, Steve. I'll make it worth your while. I got dough. I got lots of dough.
It's too bad you won't be able to take it with you.
Steve, I'll give you 100 G's. 200 G's if you get me out of here.
Not going to be tough for me to die because I only got 3 months anyway. But I'm going to enjoy watching you. You're going to get weaker and weaker as you plead with me to lead you out of
here. No.
Then you're going to get desperate and try to find a way out by yourself. But you'll never make it. You'll go wandering from one cabin to another, and then in the end, you'll probably wander back here to find me dead. And your flashlight's going to go out. You'll be all alone in the dark with the rats and the bats.
Oh, stop it! Stop it or I'll
shoot! And if you go weaker, the rats are going to close in on you before you know it.
Steve, I didn't mean it. But you made me. Steve, say something. He's dead. He's dead. Gotta get out of here. Gotta get out of here. Help! Help!
This is the mysterious traveler again. Did you enjoy our little trip? What happened to Chuck Williams? Oh, the poor fellow was found dead a month later when the cabins were opened for the summer tourist trade. Seems Chuck had wandered from cabin to cabin without being able to find his way out. Evidently, he'd gone mad in his last hours, for he was found with his pockets stuffed full of bills. Goldbacks. Now, I recall another case in which two ghosts came face to face, only to discover that... Oh, you have to get off now. I'm sorry. But I'm sure we'll meet again. I take this same train every week at this time.
The Mysterious Traveler, on Tuned to Yesterday, from May 11th, 1948, on the Mutual Broadcasting System. And that wraps it up for this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. It's been a pleasure.